Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to read one verse this morning from Philippians chapter 4. That's verse 19. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read through the first time aloud as you read along silently, and then we'll join together the second time reading the verse in unison. That's Philippians 4, verse 19. As you find in your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God as we read it this morning. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now let's read together, please. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this wonderful promise in the Word of God this morning. Lord, we've been blessed by hearing the songs, patriotic songs, honoring those that keep us safe in our community. But Lord, now we come to the most important part of the service, and that is the preaching from God's Word. Help us to hear what we need for ourselves today. Lord, speak to our hearts. Make us better for being here today. And Father, if there's somebody listening on the internet this morning or in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, listen very carefully, please, if you would. The message will not necessarily be so much along the lines of a patriotic theme, but more along the lines of talking about first responders. And watching that video, my wife and I will watch the news together or something, and we'll see something happen where someone from the fire department or the police department responds to a need in our community. And I watch how they go about it, and we always say to each other, whatever they're paying them, it's not enough. I wish people would say that about me. No, never mind. No, you take very good care of this, Pastor. First responders. The reason many of them are not here this morning is that's what they're doing. They're responding to needs. If you looked on the front page of your newspaper this morning, you saw firefighters on the roof of buildings yesterday putting out fires. You saw police departments doing their job, patrolling our streets, taking care of the needs of God's people. They're first responders. Now listen, church, listen to me. This church has and always will have the attitude that we show respect to those who are in authority in our country. I noticed when we sang the national anthem, no one knelt. That was good. Now, we would allow you to do that while we drag you out and throw you in the parking lot, but we don't have to have an edict from the sports companies to find out how that works. We respect our nation. We respect those who serve our freedoms in the military. And we respect those who serve us in the areas of our safety, our fire departments, our police departments. See, they're there doing what they do, responding to the needs of our lives. Yes, I know and understand. You say, well, sometimes they don't do everything they're supposed to. I know you do, so you can show them how that works. Because you always do everything you're supposed to do. And being a human like them, I'm sure you respond to every situation the way you're supposed to respond to situations. I'll let that sit with you for a minute. Just like pastors in ministry, sometimes people forget they're human beings. But I do know this. I respect their sacrifice, their commitment, and their dedication to our safeties and our freedoms. So we have that standing. And Chief, you have a standing open door policy at Shasta Baptist Church. If you ever need us for anything, please be sure to call us, but make sure it's only on Monday. But call us if you ever if you ever need us, and I mean that very sincerely, for any personal or professional needs or whatever we can do for you and your department. We have an open door policy here, and we'll give you a good rate on the charge. But we will take care of that, Chief, and I mean that. So please be sure to let your folks know we're here for them. My point of the message this morning is, in thinking about first responders, those who are willing to go the extra mile and do what's necessary, I want to talk to you about the first responder. But my God shall supply all your need. I was listening as you were reading it this morning. Several folks said needs. It's need, singular. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you realize this morning God knows what is your greatest need? He does. What amazes me about it is God knows what your greatest need is and all the other 7.4 billion people on this planet at one time. We're talking big God now, folks, big G God, to know what those needs are. But more importantly, to know what each need is for each person. But more importantly than that, to know what is their greatest need. That's why it's singular here. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, here's a couple simple questions this morning, and that is, do you see what your greatest need is? See, boy, I know what I want, Pastor Johnson. No, it's not what you want, it's what you need. Every parent has been there before. Look, your children want candy. They need broccoli. Now, does that kid look at you and say, thank you for not giving me a Snicker bar and for giving me a big plate of broccoli? I needed this. This is what I needed. Every parent has realized when you told your child, it's time to go to bed. The kid wants to play, but they need sleep. You need the break. They need sleep. Yes? So, now look, as parents, we know what is the greatest need for those that we love and care for. When the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his understanding of what is your greatest need. Now, if we can separate the wants from the need, we're going to be okay at this point, okay? What we want, oh yeah, there's all kinds of stuff we want. What we need, my wife is very kind. She takes very good care of me. Regularly throughout the day, she'll say, do you need anything? Do you need anything? And I'm always I'm an easy man to deal with. I don't have a lot of needs. Wants. I want ice cream. I want cookies. And she gives me broccoli. But anyway, the point is, if we separate wants from need, we're good. Do you know what your greatest need is? See, the point is God does. When he says, my God shall supply, it means he knows what your great need is. And he, knowing what your need is, whether you realize it or not, the Bible said he will supply that need. Not just the need, all. If you'll notice the word all, please. My God shall supply all your need. All that's involved in what that need is, he will supply all of that. Now let's again, one more time, let's get the want out of it. Let's get the gimme out of it. Let's get me, you know, the blab it and grab it kind of stuff that goes around where you get anything God ever, all you have to do is want it and God will give it to you. Now come on, he's not that dumb. God is not foolish enough to give us anything we wanted in our lives. Just like we know better than our children, God knows better than his children. But understand something. He not only knows what you need, he knows how to supply all the need that goes with it. So are you willing this morning to trust him enough to say, well, this must be what I needed in my life? Because my God shall supply all your need. And we've all done that before. Had things happen to us in our day or our life or whatever, and you just think, you know, I didn't really need that. Apparently you must have. Because the God of heaven, if he's your God and he's watching over you, my God shall supply. Not a God, my God, the personal thing here. My God who knows me, loves me, knows what's best for me, knows the very great need of my life. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that means, friend, do you know what that need is? You don't have to. He does. See, our mankind's greatest need must be a Savior and salvation because he sent us Jesus. I mean, if it was education, he would have sent us an educator, and education's a wonderful thing. If it was government, he would have sent us a politician, which no one would believe. But then that's not what he sent us. If it was a military need, then he would have sent us a general. If that was what mankind's, listen to me, if it was science, then he would have sent us a scientist. God knows what our greatest need is. Our greatest need must be salvation because he sent us a Savior. He sent Jesus Christ to come, to die upon the cross, to dip his soul into death, to rise from the grave 3 days and three nights later, purchasing for us the gift of eternal life by his death, burial, and resurrection, to offer it to us as a gift, a free gift paid for, offered to us today. When we were contacting folks in the law enforcement and the fire department to have folks come, we wanted to do something for them. By the way, Chief, we were going to send you guys to Hawaii. All expense paid, 2 weeks, anywhere you wanted to by this volcano. But they said we weren't allowed to give you anything as a gift. We couldn't even give you a candy bar. If the police showed up, we were going to have donuts out there. I mean, something for we're not allowed to give you a gift other than to say thank you for coming and that sort of thing. We like to show our appreciation by giving you something or doing something for you. Because, you see, when you know what someone's need is, you try your best to supply it. Well, then God sent us Jesus Christ, God's Son, to purchase for us eternal life and salvation, forgiveness, redemption. Then that must be man's greatest need today. Now you say, oh, they need religion. Well, whatever about religion, but they need salvation. Well, there's 1,200 Christian religions in America today. There's hundreds of different kinds of religions around the world. I'm not saying anything against religion today. I'm just simply saying this. That must not be the answer because it ain't working. But I'll tell you what does work. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know that salvation is the thing that makes a difference in a person's life. And you know how? Because it made a difference in my life. Salvation. God knows our greatest need. Do you see that today? Do you see that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that that was your great need? Have you responded to that and received Christ as your Savior? How do you do that? By faith. You trust his payment on the cross for your salvation and forgiveness. And his payment alone. Nothing else. Can't add to it. Can't take from it. And trusting only the payment Jesus made, by faith you trust that payment and ask him to save you. He gives you the gift of eternal life. That's amazing. He not only knows your great need, but he provides the need, and then he offers it to you without payment on your part whatsoever. And by the way, you try to earn that gift, and he won't give it to you. God won't allow you to get baptized, join a church, do good, live right in order to get eternal life. He's already purchased that. He offers it to you as a free gift to be received by faith. Do you see your greatest need? God must see that great need for mankind. It's salvation. Do you trust that God is supplying your need in any other area of your life? When he said, look here, he will supply all your need. So if you look at it, and I'm sorry I keep using food as an illustration. But do you ever think, I have to get through this meal to get to the dessert? The other night, we're at the Wilson's having a barbecue after Christian May's graduation. And Lenny Wilson makes banana pudding. Now, she makes banana pudding. Not that Yankee box banana pudding stuff. We're talking about cooked banana pudding. And sure enough, we walk in the backyard, and there's a great big bowl of banana pudding. And Brother Allen and Brother Turner were over there burning the food. Getting it ready the best they could. Some chicken, some burgers, stuff like this. A lot of fixings. And there was a few salads and things like that too. But all I could think of was I'd just kind of like to get some food in me to get to the banana pudding. Because that's really what it's about. Many times as a kid, I've sat down, looked at a meal and thought, it's a shame to put that in front of a piece of apple pie. I mean, parents understand you have to have green beans. No kid understands that. But I figure, okay, like I've told you before, in my house, you eat what they put in front of you. And you didn't get dessert unless you ate this. So if I have to eat this to get to dessert, you could put a dead dog right there. I'd probably eat him. I mean, it really wouldn't make a whole lot of difference because you got to get through that to get to dessert. See, what's the illustration? I don't know, but I'm getting hungry. Now, stay with me a moment. No, the truth is when he promised to supply all our need. So if we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, there are things in that growing process. There's all that supply of growth that's going to encompass some things you don't necessarily want because Jesus had to have that. Even the captain of our salvation was not made perfect without suffering. Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. There wasn't everything about Jesus' earthly life was not pleasant. But it was all that he needed to become what we needed him to be. So can you trust God enough to say, okay, the great first responder looked at my life and realized I was going to have blessings and help and encouragement and strength and guidance and direction, and he's going to lift me when I fall. He's going to encourage me. He's going to help me out, and sometimes I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to have loss, and there'll be times when I don't get everything that I wanted, and there'll be times I struggle, and there'll be battles that I'll have in my life. But you see, it's all a part of the whole thing of him supplying all of our need. See, we want that kind of Christianity or that kind of life where there's no problems, no struggles, everything just falls in place. Years ago, I read the autobiography of W.A. Criswell, and he's a pastor in Dallas, Texas for many years. He's in heaven now. And I was reading his autobiography. I love biographies, autobiographies. I'm reading Criswell's autobiography. He wrote it, of course, toward the end of his life. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy went through a lot of stuff as a pastor for 45, 50 years. And I read that autobiography, and it was the most rose-colored autobiography I ever read in my life. The man never had a battle. He never had a struggle. He never had a difficulty. He's talking in one chapter. He said, you know, we needed to build an educational building for our young people, for not schooling, but for the youth department. And we needed like $2 million to build this building. And I just announced it one Sunday, and Mrs. Letourneau, R.G. Letourneau's wife, was in church, and she walked out the door and handed him a check for $2 million. We can't get a flagpole up out here. I kept reading the book going, where's the trouble, man? Come on, I've been at this 40 years. Where's the trouble this man had in his life? And he kept talking about, oh, yeah, and then we needed to do this, and someone gave $14 million for that. And I thought, what in the world? He had no struggles. He had no battles. He had no difficulty. The man was never sick a day in his life, apparently. Then I found out that Criswell got into real estate in early days of his ministry. He owned like half of downtown Dallas. Sold it and gave his church back every year of his salary for 40 years. Gave him one check and paid his salary back after 40 years. I ain't doing that. I might be able to cover a parking ticket. That might be about it, okay? What a rose-colored life. I read the whole book. I thought, did I miss a chapter? Were there pages missing in this man's book? Where's the stuff? Now, no doubt he had it. The point is this. People. The point is this, he will supply all your need. So when something comes that you don't necessarily want, don't get upset with God. He's supplying all your need. Yeah, but Pastor, I didn't need that. Oh, you must have. That's why it happened. He will supply all your need, but all of it. Because let's face it, you don't enjoy the troubles without the blessings. You don't enjoy the sweet without the bitter. You don't enjoy the hard times without times where things go well. It all has to be in there. The great first responder looked at our life and said, you know, Mike Johnson, there's going to be times in your life where you'll need this and this and this. You won't want it, but you'll need it. And it'll be there. And then later on, we've all done that. We're going to correct our children, discipline our children, and make that great statement every parent makes, which is, you won't appreciate this now, but you will later. No kid in America ever turned around and said, thanks, Dad. I needed it. Because you didn't see it till later on. Can you? Look at, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you trust that God is supplying your need in life according to his riches and glory? God supplying that need. He knowing what's best for you. God does that. Make sure he is your God. And you do trust him to supply that need. Do you let him? Don't get in his way. Well, I don't think this is right, so I'm going to take over. Don't do that now, hey? No, don't do that. I have to make this happen. Every time someone says that, they always make a mistake. Always. No, you know, God doesn't need your help. It doesn't mean you just sit around and wait for it to drop out of the sky. That's foolishness. But on the other hand, if you really think you have to make something happen in your life, you know you're forcing the hand of God. He has a way. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Everything has its time and place. You give him time, God brings things together. He puts the... Don't get in God's way. Don't feel like you have to make something. I'm waited on God long enough, and now I'm going to... No. You don't want to run ahead of God. Allow God's plan and his purpose in supplying all your need to take place. And don't get on God's side of supplying that need. Stay faithful. Do what's right. Trust the Lord and his timing on this thing. Then again, it comes back to, is it the principle of the first two words of Philippians 4:19? Three words. But my God. Is he? It means the matter of salvation is settled. That makes you his child and he's your heavenly father. But he didn't say, but my father shall supply you. He said, my God. That's a trusting that the almighty God of heaven knows what's right and what's best and when it's best and what time that it's best. See, when we're young and immature, we think everything should be now. Later on, we grow up, we learn some things take time. You just have to give them time. You have to let God work out his time, on his time, in his way, and trust him that he knows what's best. Please let God supply the need, all of it, every part of it, every portion of it. Give him time to work out that circumstance or situation. Trust him enough that he'll know what to do. Hey, he'll know when to do it. He'll know how to do it. He'll know exactly where to bring that. He'll know exactly the circumstances surrounding everything that's involved in it. God knows what he's doing, people. Sometimes I think we're kind of like practical atheists. We really say we believe in God, but when it gets right down to it, the old joke is a good one. Man falls off a 3,000-foot cliff. On his way down to certain death, a limb is sticking out of the side of that cliff at 1,500 feet, and he grabs it. Now he's hanging there, 1,500 feet above him, no hope. 1,500 feet below him, certain death. So he cries out, Dear Lord, you've got to help me. Help me, Lord, please. And suddenly a voice comes from heaven. My son, do you trust me? Yes, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Let go. Pause. Is there anybody else up there? See, well, Pastor Johnson, what I'm going through is not a joke. I didn't mean to make it sound like a joke, but I can tell you this. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus in his time. In his way, and you've got to trust him enough to do right and make sure he is your God. Hey, that means you know him as Savior. Number two, it means he's the God of your life. Not you, him. Not everybody around you, him. That he's the God of your life. Yes, we've all stood and scratched our heads and looked at circumstances maybe in our own life or in the lives of those around us and think, you know, Lord, I can't see the purpose in this. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand why this would happen to me or why this would happen to them. I don't get that. But at some point, now listen to me, at some point you have to stop and remind yourself, but you are God, Heavenly Father. And you've been so good to me in my life. And I don't have to see it to know that you do. So everything will be okay. You say, Pastor Johnson, I get everything I want. No, God will supply your need. You got to separate the want from the need, and that straightens a lot of things out in your life. And then you realize why the first great responder, before I even drew a breath, is God enough to know what I would need this day today, June the 10th, 2018. You know what? He'll know what you need tomorrow. And he'll know what you need that day after. And guess what? He'll supply all of that need if you'll just make sure he's your God and you yield to his direction and control in your life. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.